Yo, this is your boy Sel, Two Cents of Faith, coming at you. As a lot of you know that listen knows that once a week I do Facebook Live, and today we did our first Facebook Live. Well, I did my reason why I say we is I have my first special guest on the show, and his name is, like I said before, and I told everybody about it. A good friend of mine, Timothy Jones, known him since junior high school. We played football together all the way from junior high school through high school. Man, good dude. His story is incredible. And he came on Facebook Live and shared some of his story. And here's some of his story.
Now,
oh man, that's a lot better. Yeah, let's start. Yeah, start over, man, because I got a lot of people saying that they couldn't hear you because of the feedback and everything. So, okay. If you could start all over again, man, that'd be great. Right,
most definitely. May 17th, 1998. I thought it was going to be the best day of my life. A football coach from Olivet Nazarene came to my house with a college scholarship. I signed the college scholarship. He said, "Welcome to Olivet." I said, "Cool." I was supposed to go to work right after I signed the scholarship. But I said, "Nah, man, forget work." I called my homeboys. Went out to celebrate. First we went to the liquor store. Then we went to McDonald's. And like, what y'all want to do next? I said, let's go to the beach. We went to the beach. We got to the beach. Got to rap it to some dudes and everything. Then pow, pow, pow. Somebody started shooting. We all ran to our cars. Everybody, all right, yeah. As soon as I said, yeah, pow, I'm hitting the head. My guys rushed me straight to the hospital. That's how I'm here talking to y'all today. It was a long road. I did not know a bullet can do that much damage to your body. The bullet's still in my head to this day, 20 years later. And I feel good as ever.
Amen.
I feel like I can still go on the football field and do some damage. But I know I can't.
Right on, man.
I feel good about this.
Yeah, I remember, I'm going to share a little bit on my view, because, and get people some kind of idea of how things were. I remember, and the thing about me, I was different. Let me flip this. You know, I was different. I didn't hang out with y'all too much, you know, in the neighborhood. I was either at church or playing football or in Glen Park somewhere hanging out with my family. And I still remember to this day, we was at football practice, and the dudes came and, like, gave you a warning, gave you a threat, and I was like, oh, wow, this is real, because they actually came up to our practice. You remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, they came up to our practice, and we was ready. We were all ready to go.
What'd I do? I was ready.
You was ready. Coach had to hold you back. You was ready. You was ready to go. And I remember that because, like I say, I didn't. That's the only time I really hung out with y'all is doing football practice. And I was like, wow. I was like, you know, when I used to coach, I would tell the kids, you know, some of the stories, and I tell my son some of the stories that we had. I mean, we had to go through a lot. I remember when we played against Gary teams, it was like a fear for our lives when we played in the games. It was like shootouts. But the one thing that I remember when you told me your whole story, I remember we was talking a couple of years back on the phone, and the thing that really blew me away is tell people about your rehab after you had got shot and the guy you ran into doing your rehab.
Rehab was crazy, man. I never thought I'd be walking again today in life. The way my legs were when I went to rehab, the way they straightened them out, I still walk with a little limp. But the way they straightened my legs out was unbelievable, man. I forgot the guy who I ran into. Can't refresh my memory on that?
I remember you telling me, the same dude that shot you was in the hospital.
I don't know the dude that shot me.
Huh? Oh, you don't?
I don't know the dude that shot me.
So it had something to do with, it was some connection to a dude or something you was telling me that you had met in the hospital that had something, you know, that knew something about it. But you never knew who it was?
I never knew who it was.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of glad at that. Because my mind would have went elsewhere.
Exactly, yeah. I couldn't remember if it was just somebody that was associated. It probably was somebody that was just associated with it. But yeah, man, it was. I mean, your story is incredible because, let's say, I remember. I didn't know anything. I didn't know. I knew that you had lived because they wouldn't let us in the hospital. It was so many people. I mean, you have so many people supporting you and everything. And all I knew that you survived. And then, you know, I was getting ready to move to here, out here to Colorado by the time you got done with all your rehab and everything. And I would hear stuff like, oh, man, you've seen Tim. You know, he's, you know, doing, you know, he's, you know, he's doing all right, man. And he's kind of. You know, he's kind of different, and I want you to talk about that difference. What I mean by that difference is that spiritual difference. How did, you know, God change you through that experience?
I talk to people now, give them advice. They're beating people up stuff. I'm so, if I be there, anybody up who listening or seeing this, I'm sorry. Because, man, that was wrong stuff that I did back in the day. And God ensured that in me, he ensured faith in me. I'm in a church choir now, singing praises to him, Almighty God. I ain't bringing tears to my eyes, Marcel.
That's all right, man. That's all right, man. I appreciate you doing this, man, because it's so important for me to let people hear this story, because it was like you were saying in the beginning, like you had college recruits. I mean, I remember. I remember, man. You was a beast, man. You was a beast, and. And I was small, but I was good, but I was small, so I couldn't get it. I remember us going to college tours together and stuff, and you know, I always, you know, admired the fact that, you know, I thought you was gonna make it. You know, I thought you was gonna make it out and go like play professional ball and everything. I was like, at least somebody, you know, from our school, you know, is gonna represent and gonna do something big. And you know, I think about my experiences because I thought I was going to at least play college level, but I was always too small. It had nothing to do with the grades. And then what I realized is that God had other plans. You know, that wasn't the plan. And I, when I think about your story, I think about that, you know, I think God, you know, now I see it, God had a different plan for you. Your plan wasn't to play ball. It was to do something else.
That's what I've seen too. That's why they get mad at that.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. I got convinced because a lot of people would get mad about that, you know. Especially growing up in the hood, like, I should take it out. I should take it out, man. You like, you got accepted, and you know, you're ready to go. And then this happens. A lot of people would have been like, man, you know, I'm done. I'm tired. I can't do this no more. What was your determination to say, man, I got to get back on my feet, and I got to, you know, I got to do what God called me to do. What was your motivation? Because a lot of people would have gave up.
I didn't give up, man. I asked the doctor. I said, "Will I be able to play again?" And they said, "No. The bullet's still in your head." And that just gave me motivation to get up and go coach.
Right.
As soon as I got back healthy on my feet, I was coaching at Horseman High School. That made me proud. Coach Maybone took me by his side, and I'm still close with Coach Maybone to this day at the moment.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, speaking of, you know, we think about Coach Maybone and the coaches and the people we had around us. I mean, they were great people. And I think about how, you know, like you say, they actually cared about us. You know, people talked a lot about Coach Piggy, but that was a good dude, man. I mean, he really cared about us, and he really, like, he showed, like, I remember he made those cards for us. I'm trying not to get off topic. But I remember he made those cards for us, those football cards for us. And every time I went somewhere to like a college tour or something, they were shocked because we had these little football cards with our stats and stuff on it. And nobody was really doing that. And I think about, you know, those kind of influences. And people don't talk about those kind of influences from the hood. People in the hood that stay there. And look out for people, because if it weren't for like guys like Coach Maybone, like say you wouldn't have been there, you know. And you know, you guys are still buddies and everything. And my other question is to you: do you think outside of football, like the other dreams and aspirations that you have, do you think that deferred them, or it kind of pointed you in a different direction? That makes sense.
It pointed me in a different direction. I met my beautiful wife.
Yeah. I remember you told me one of the phone conversations we had a while back, and you was telling, I mean, that's all you talked about, and that was leading to my next question, because besides, you know, God, you know, saving your life, you know, he brought this beautiful woman into your life. And how that makes you feel to have somebody, you know, have a strong woman that supports you and honor you and just think the world of you.
Man, make me feel like a king, man. She called me a king. And that make me feel real good, bro.
Yeah, and
I love you, baby.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest blessings you could have is a strong, godly woman to push you forward and to keep you going. And outside of those other blessings, you know, outside of your wife, what are some other things you feel God has blessed you and how he's blessed you?
I can go in any neighborhood now. Back in the day, I couldn't do that. Mm. I was a vice lord coming up. And everywhere I went, my head was to the left. And that was crazy. Now I go places now, I don't wear hats, because I know if I had a hat on, it'd be to the left. God changed me, man. And I'm happy God changed me.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I always struggle with, because I told you before, like, a lot of people didn't know that if they wasn't really, really tight with me, they didn't know my faith, and they didn't know how, you know, important church was to me and God was to me. And I'm glad you had said that, because, you know, I never really gang banged. I never really got into that stuff. And I was neutral. And, you know, growing up in the hood and being neutral is not a good thing either. Because you pull in different directions and you don't know what to do. But, you know, I was able to go in different areas. And at first I thought it was because, well, my cousins and them stay over here in this side of town, and I go to church in this side of town. I went to church, you know, in Terrytown, and then, like, my cousins were in Glen Park, and I had cousins, you know, in our neighborhood, Fifth Block, and everything. And I can go anywhere in Gary, and I thought it was because of my association, family or friends, and I come to find out it was because of my relationship with God. It was because, you know, people outside of our neighborhood knew me as the church boy. When I started doing ministry at my church back in Gary, you know, I would have to go pick up the kids in the bus. I had to go to Concord. I had to go to Terrytown. You know, and most of these.
And they was beefing.
Yeah, it was real, because I want to take it back to the Tolleston days when we was in junior high school. I mean, these were dudes we went to school with that, you know, it was, you know, like I say, it was real beef. You couldn't, you know, I couldn't show up in there. But they knew that, you know, oh, you know, he's coming to pick up the kids to do Bible study. Say, oh, he's cool. He's all right. That's you know, that's the church boy. He's cool. So, you know, I got, God gave me my hood pass. And that's why I'm glad you said that, because even growing up, you know, on the block, you know, on Third Avenue, you know, our fathers ran our block on, you know, and I remember I used to want to go hang out with the OGs on the block. And I would go and try to sneak and hang out with the OGs on the block. And they'd be like, dude, say, what are you doing over here, dude? You know what I mean? They'd be like, what are you doing over here? Man, if you don't get your little butt over there, man, I'm gonna tell your dad you over here trying to be a thug and whatnot. You know, it was the ones that, you know, that I thought was gonna kill me or gonna hurt me. They were the ones protecting me, and that's why I'm really glad you said that, because I got a friend out here and I told him my story, and, you know, he almost brought me to tears. He was like, Sam, do you realize what kind of power you had? You know, he said, if one of those dudes would have slipped, if one of those dudes would have slipped in any one of those neighborhoods, it would have started a war. And I didn't think about it that way. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, because you were doing something good for the kingdom. And you were, you know, everybody respected you and loved you. So if something would happen to you, you probably would have started a war. And I didn't think about it that way. And I was like, wow. I was like, are you serious? And that's why I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people look at the hood and look at the ghetto all the time. Even when I moved here. A lot of people didn't know about Gary, but the ones that did, it's like, man, I'm not good to come out of Gary, man, and this and that. And the people that tell you that, oh, you know, you're from Gary, and so you're not worth it. How do you respond to that? Did he leave? Did I lose him? I think I lost you, bro. But yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks, man. Thanks for sharing your testimony. Hopefully we can get you back. But yeah, I'll continue to go on. And the reason why I wanted him to share a story is because I say it's amazing, and a lot of people don't hear these side of the stories from coming from the hood and coming from bad places. Like I say, you know, my brother Tim, he could have went either way, but he chose God, and that makes you realize how strong and powerful God really is, and what He can do in your life. And some of the times we think that the things that happen to us, and I hear people say this all the time, like, man, why did this happen to me, and why am I going through this? And sometimes God allows you to go through things to make you better and to prepare you for something else, for something bigger that He wants to accomplish. And what we have to remember is that we are not in control of our lives, and God is in complete control of our lives. And that's sometimes that's the hardest thing for us is just people in general. It's hard to accept the fact that you're not in control, that you can't, you know, you don't have any say so. No real say-so of what's going on in your life. Sorry. In your life and how your life goes. You make some bad choices, and you live with the consequences of your bad choices. But God always brings you out. God always makes a way. And, you know, I think about one of the podcasts I did this week when I was talking about how, you know, an old friend told me that they thought I would be a big time pastor and have my own church by now. And I talked about on my podcast how that affected me. But God had to take me through some things because, yeah, you know, like we was talking about with me and Tim was talking about earlier, you know, I never was into the gangs. I never did that stuff. I was always protected from that stuff. And God was like, you know, He told me a few years back, He's like, man, you're going to go through some stuff because I need you to go through some things so you can understand and so you can know how to relate to the people I want to reach, because the people I need you to reach are not going to listen to, how did God put it? Like, they're not going to listen to certain people, certain church people. So you have to, I have to have, let you experience certain things so you can grow and, hold on a second. Yeah, so you can grow. And so you can become a better. I'm trying to get Tim back on here. But yeah, God takes you through things.
I'm here.
So you can be able to do some people out. There he is. Got you back, man. we still got some time. We still got some time, a little bit more time.
No, ask him what else he wants.
What was that?
What else
you want to ask me?
Yeah, we was talking about, okay, we was talking about your wife and everything, and then we was talking about some other stuff. One of the questions I had for you is, do you sometimes forget things? Or have a hard time remembering things?
No, tell you the truth, I remember a lot of stuff now.
Hmm.
With the bullet in my head.
That's awesome. Because yeah, that's why I asked you, because a lot of people that experience that, they lose a lot of brain memory and they forget things, and sometimes some people even forget like their past and things of that sort.
I remember my past to the fullest, man.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that so people get an understanding, you know. I say, I remember you was saying earlier how you was just used to fight for no reason. And I remember back in Tolleston, we was in class, we had the same class together, and I don't remember what happened. I just remember you throwing a desk and just laying into this dude. And, you know, I felt sorry. I felt bad for the dude. I was like, wow. I mean, it was one of those things where the teacher was like, he couldn't break it up because he was too afraid to break it up. And my question is, coming from, and we talked about this before, too, and another thing I wanted to explain, too, was when you came to Gary, you came from Chicago. Is that correct?
East Chicago,
yeah. And sometimes, you know, and you got accepted, from what I remember, you got accepted pretty good for somebody coming outside.
Okay, so you got to try. So what you there?
I don't know from my perspective, but was it that way for you when you moved here? Was it an easy transition?
I was a baby.
Yeah.
I was a baby. So I didn't know the difference.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I get from people that you know, I hear when people move to Gary. You know, it really wasn't a difference because, you know, especially when you're young. I'm sorry, man. I lost my lost my train of thought. Let me go back. So, yeah, talk a little bit about that, about how God brought you. Talk a little bit about your past and how God has changed you. I know you hit on it a little bit, but if you can give them a little bit more detail on, you know, how you know, bad it really was, and how much God really brought you through things. God really brought you through a lot. And, you know, I was always the dude on the outside looking in, and from the outside looking in, you know, it blows my mind because, like, you know, when we got to high school, you know, you was the dude, you know, and you was one of those rare guys in school where everybody respected you, and everybody, you know, loved you and respected you and got along with you, like, you got along with everybody. Explain how, you know, God brought you from then to now.
Man. Back in the day, I played three sports in high school. I played basketball, baseball, and football. And I found out football was the sport that was really meant for me. I love everybody, but if you get on my bad side, I feel for you. Because I just took it all out. And somebody got to get into it with any of my boys. From second, Deuce Ave, the best avenue in the world. Anybody get into it with any of them, we banging. I don't care who you right. was. And we just roll kick tight like that, man. I love them guys. To this day, we still all the Deuce Ave. And I love all y'all. Man, I had a temper. I admit that. But I don't know where it came from. Because my mama didn't have a temper. Oh, my father didn't have a temper. I don't know where I get this temper from.
Right.
The first person I met when I moved down
here. They were both horseman graduates. My daddy in 79 and my mom in 80. And I was a proud 97 graduate.
Yeah, a lot of people, I'm laughing because, you know, a lot of people from Horse, that graduated from Horse Mann, when we say that, you know, we brag about our class and say our class was like one of the best classes that came out of there. And, you know, I have an older sister that graduated from Horse Mann too, and she would like beg to differ. But, you know, I also remember too, and when I run into people that went to like Westside, now I had family went to Westside, family went to Wallace, you know, had friends that went to work and, you know, the other high schools in Gary, and they used to talk about how much they hated it at times because it was so violent. And I don't remember, like, I remember all of us was hotheads back in the day. A lot of, you know, but I don't remember a lot of us fighting each other at Horse Mann. And when I tell people, you know, it was cool because, you know, my freshman year I went to Calumet and then I came to Horse Mann. But, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, misjudge our character and how we really are. You know, I talked to some of the other people that we grew up with, and a lot of us are doing great things. And I think that's great, you know, not to, you know, I'm not trying to down all the other schools or anything like that, but we were the ones that were looked at as the losers.
And let me tell you something.
Hey, yeah.
My father had three sons in 1 year. Two of us went to Horse Mann, one of us went to Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was crazy.
Wow.
We played football against the one at Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time of my life when my grandfather was in the stands.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, before I wrap up, you know, the biggest thing for me when I see us able to do things like that. So I said, class of 77, baby. When I think about, you know, what God brought us through, man, you know, it really brings me to tears because a lot of people, I've been out here in Colorado going on 20 years, and a lot of people really don't know how much I went through and how much people that I grew up with went through. And like I say, sometimes when I think about it, sometimes it brings me to tears because there's no way we could have done and where we are to be where we are now and done what we have done in life now without God. And I think there's no way possible. No way possible. And what do you think? Do you think that has some truth to it?
Yes, I do. Because we banged in school. I mean, you had to be from some hood or click tight with somebody not to get beat up.
Right.
And that was the honest to God truth.
Somebody said second half. Yeah, dark side.
That's my own Mac.
Yeah, and like I said, it really, you know, it's the only way I can think of how we all made it out. Because, like you say, it was banging. If you wasn't banging, you had to know somebody. You had to know somebody, and like I say, in order to not get beat up. And I think about that now when I raise my kids, and you know that's why I'm glad you reached out, you know, and talked to my son and things like that, because you know, I'm fortunate now to be able to. My kids don't have no clue what it feels like to walk home and fear your life.
Because I did that every day.
Right? Yeah, it was an everyday thing. Like you didn't know if you was gonna make it home or make it to school. And I remember even when we was at, you know, when we was at Tolleson, we were kids, man. And I remember when we used to catch the bus to Tolleson, there'd be the other bus over there, the Bankman bus. Was that, yeah, that was Bankman, right? Uh-huh. And it was like, okay, you know, when we get to that bus stop, it was either, you know, we didn't know if, what was going to jump off when we got to that bus stop where everybody, you know, where both schools were. You didn't know what was going to happen. Same thing,
we got to Towson.
You know, my cousin, you know, we talked about it before. Like, he's like, man, I hated Towson because Towson was the melting pot. You know, you had the gifted and talented kids, and then you had the Concord boys in Tarrytown, and then you had us. And, you know, every day, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know what was going to happen. What period? You didn't know what was going to happen. And I couldn't imagine my kids living like that, you know. And I don't think our parents meant for us to live. I don't think our parents really realized that, you know, it was really like that.
Tell you the truth.
Yeah.
At Tolleston, we were 10 deep. Fight everybody. And never lost. And that was crazy to me. We had some big niggas.
Yeah, it was.
We had some big
niggas. Yeah, we was young, though, and it was, you know, the odds were always stacked against us.
Because they've been grown people up there to fight us.
Right, right, exactly. And even when we got in high school, like I say, even, you know, going to Horace Mann, I remember, you know, Horace Mann had the reputation where, far as football goes, I'll stay with football. As far as football goes, Horace Mann had the reputation that, you know, that was the school that everybody wanted to play because they knew they was going to beat.
Right.
And I remember our junior year, it was only like 15 of us on it. We'll go play in the cornfields and the white schools and do their homecomings. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, this is a guaranteed win. And we were so bad, and when I say bad, we were so good and we were so tough with just our little 15 players. They had 30-something dudes, and the only reason we would lose because we was just outnumbered, and we'd get tired. A lot of us was going both ways. But I remember our senior year, that following year, a lot of people dropped off the schedule. And I remember people telling us after the games, like, man, we not playing y'all no more. What's going on over there? Y'all boys are bad. You know, and I'm saying that to say this is, you know, we had to fight for a lot. And we had to go through a lot just to prove that we were good. We were good guys. I remember when we had to go play those cornfields. I remember a couple of times where we had to get there so early that we had to, you know, just hang out, and we was able to hang out with the other team before the game and stuff. And they didn't know what to expect, but once we got on the field, they respected us because they realized, like, hey, these dudes are not, you know, they're not criminals, you know, even though some of us were still, you know, banging and whatnot. When we went out there, it wasn't, you know, we represented, and we represented well. And you know, I just think about all those things that we had to go through, and a lot of people don't know we had to go through, you know, growing up. And, you know, I praise and thank God. You know, that's why, one of the reasons why my faith is so big, and you can elaborate too. The main reason my faith is so big is because of growing up in Gary. And you know, I never owned a gun. I never done any of that stuff until recently. Like, I brought my first couple of guns like last year, and I would tell people, like, man, you grew up in the hood, you never had a gun. Like, no, but you know, God protected me. You know, I remember times where, like you say, it'll be a gun pointed to.
Hey, the man who saved my life, that's joined the progress.
Right, right, yep. And I got a few more questions for you, and we're gonna wrap it up. let's talk about your book here as we wrap up. Now,
yeah,
go ahead.
So you go ahead. What just been asking?
I was going to ask you. Did Tavetta help you out with that?
She wrote the whole book.
That's what I thought. Yeah, and you know that's what I think is so cool too, because you know you didn't have to go nowhere far to get the support to do your book.
The queen was in our way.
No, and you know that says a lot about our neighborhood and where we grew up. Tell everybody about your book and what it talks about.
The Life of Timothy Jones, written by Tavetta Patterson, is a book about my life after my signing my scholarship. The book made me cry after I read the whole thing. My mother's part, that's almost broke my heart. Because she has explained all the things she had to go through. What she did. I'm telling you, man, it's touching. Y'all should get it on Amazon if possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've been looking for it. I've been trying to get it for a minute. I've been looking for it. And say where it is. Tell everybody where it is again. It's on Amazon. Okay. Okay, so
the life of Timothy Jones.
The life of Timothy Jones. Yeah, grab that book and read it. And yeah, grab that book, man. I think everybody needs to hear your story. I'm still trying to get you out here, man, to talk to some people so people can hear your story. Anyway, I'm still trying to work on that. Try to get you out here to talk. Because that's another thing you do, too, is you go around and you do motivational speaking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Nobody can believe what happened to me. They say, you look normal. I say, I look normal, but I ain't normal.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, and that's why, you know, I stress the importance of people knowing your story. Because you say, for one, you ain't supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, you still functioning. Like that's why I asked the question earlier. Like, you still can remember everything. We can still talk about, you know, back in the day and then talk about, you know, things that recently happened. And you can still remember all that with a bullet still in your head. And a lot of people can't do that. And that's only through the grace of God. That's only God.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I stress so much. You know, I'm a big supporter, even though, you know, I wasn't around much and I didn't hang out with a lot of people in the neighborhood. But I'm still a big supporter of people from our neighborhood and people from Gary. Because, you know, the struggle is real, you know. And people, you know, glorify. What makes me upset is people glorify that life, that gang life. The ones that never really know about it, that never really, you know, experience it, they glorify it. And that really upsets me, because it's like you have no clue of, you know, how hard that life really is, even if you're not living in it. You know, it was hard for me, and I wasn't even, you know, living in it. And it was hard. Yeah, as we wrap up. So, yeah, you guys can get the book, the Timothy Jones story, right?
The Life of Timothy Jones.
The Life of Timothy Jones. I had it up here. Let me see if I still got it up. There it is. Yeah, let me flip over. There's the cover of the book. It's on Amazon. And, yeah, it's The Life of Timothy Jones. I encourage everybody to go get it. And, man, I want to thank you, brother, man, for reaching out to me and saying, hey, man, you know, interview me. And I want to thank you for allowing me to give me more experience on trying to do this. Because this is something, too, that, you know, I have no clue what I'm doing. when it comes to doing podcasts and when it comes to doing live. But this is something that God told me that he needed me to do. So I was like, I got to do it. So, you know, I want to thank you, man, for taking the time out to tell your story, answer some questions, man. And I just want to thank you, man. You know, I also want to say this, man. I want to thank you, too, again for, you know, because a lot of people say, man, just call me anytime, you know, we can talk. But you're one of those dudes, man, and I don't take it, and, you know, I don't take advantage of it like I should. But, you know, I tested it, and there'll be times where I call you, like, dude, I need you to talk to my son. And then I'll hand the phone to my son, and you'll talk to my son. And, you know, I want to thank you for that because, like I say, none of my kids never, and I don't think they ever will, even when I take them back to Gary, you know, to visit their grandparents, to visit their family, they still don't have a clue of how rough it was or what their dad, you know, came from. And so, you know, being able to have that voice to be able to say, hey, man, you know, this is how it was, you know, and you shouldn't live that way, you know, is very encouraging. So, man, I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, man. I love you, bro, and thanks again.
I love you too, bro.
Yeah, man, I mean, it really means a lot to me because, like you say, you, even growing up, man, the few times that I did talk to you, you was always all ears. And you, like, always have my, you know, you're one of the few guys that always have my back, you know, no matter what. Like, you know, if you found out somebody was talking trash to me or something or said something bad about me, you go check them. and sometimes I didn't even know about it until, you know, later. Some of the stuff I know about till years later. But, man, I want to thank you, man, for coming and doing the show and being a good brother, man, and willing to have the courage to be able to tell your story.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, man.
Anybody that played football with me know me. If somebody do something to y'all, I'm going to check them.
Right.
And I checked them. I'm sorry I did that, but hey, it is what it is.
Right. Yep. Right on, brother. Well, you know, thanks again, and thank you everybody that watched, you know, tuned in to watch. Make sure you share it. Go get the book. This is your boy, Sil. 2 Cents of Faith Live. We out, man. God bless you, bro. Love you, man.
I love you too, bro.
All right.
Yeah, that was the interview. I thought it was going to be an easy interview, and it was hard. It was hard because it brought back a lot of memories, and me and Tim talked for about 20 minutes after that live on the phone, and we both was like, man, he's like, man, you almost made me cry. Like, man, I was holding back tears too, but it's important for people to hear testimonies and where God bring people through and bring them from. This is your boy, Sil, 2 Cents of Faith. I'm out. We'll be right back.
Thank you.